Alrighty, it is closing in on finals week, but we're still going to be bringing you some swimming coverage. Between the Lanes, Blake Benard from Blaze Sports with Ryan Curry from WCSN. Ryan, what's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm not going to lie to you. I just got back from their practice.
Yeah.
And just watching their practice tired me out. So I apologize if I'm going to be a tad groggy for this entire podcast.
Well, if I'm groggy, it's just because I literally woke up from a nap like 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, so. Sounds great.
No, you mentioned that winter training. And yeah. It's intense so far. I mean, I was there yesterday and they were looking at the set beforehand and they were already like, not checking out, but they're like, holy crap, how am I going to be able to do this?
Well, I think it was just a little bit of a reality check saying, we've been training hard, but we can train even harder. Mm-hmm. And the coaches are not – they see so much potential in this team, and they're going to do everything they can to get that potential out of this team. And that's exactly what we're seeing this week in practice is – I've never seen such an intense workout before. Mm-hmm. And I know it's just going to get a lot harder, which is the crazy thing.
It's literally the beginning of winter training. Like, this is the pinnacle of like everything I'd be working for is the training-wise.
It's right here.
It's right now. And it's gonna play in effect against Stanford. It's going to play in effect against Pac-12s and NCs because that's where it's going to really – you're going to see the effects of what they're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just – it's going to come down to how well do you train and practice. I mean, you can – you show up on race day ready to go, but if you're not prepared, if you don't have the ability to perform at the high level, that means you didn't practice right. And Coach Bowman knows that, and so do the rest of the coaches. And that's what they're going to do over the next 6 weeks or so to get their swimmers into the best shape they possibly can be.
Yeah.
And I think the result of it is going to be how well do they swim against Stanford and Cal? Are they going to be swimming at the highest level, or are they going to be totally broken down? If they're totally broken down, that means the winter training is working.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not supposed to be swimming.
Yeah, setting career highs or personal
best. Yeah, they're not supposed to be doing that. So I think that's going to be the telltale sign of how well they actually did train over winter break. But when I was there today, like, let me tell you, Blake, it was insane. Like, I've never seen the team struggle so much in one practice. And that's fine because they're going to get a lot better. But I never saw, like, I'm not going to say names, but there were like few people like puking during practice.
I haven't done that.
There was so many times where people just had to get like they had to rehydrate themselves.
Yep.
It's not to do with the weather because it's cold outside now in Arizona, but
I mean, but still, it is a climate change because it was recently still pretty hot and it's changed rather rapidly. That's not everything, but that still does kind of play into effect. But the training.
But I'm not saying like they, just looking at the way they're training. Oh, yeah. they're definitely exhausted, and they're definitely starting to feel the effects of the season wear on them right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be a weird time too because with finals week, kind of all the schedules.
I know
get
the stress is there.
Bit.
They're mentally not there. They're mentally in other places. They're not focusing on their swimming right now because they don't need to. They don't have any meet coming up.
Yeah,
but they're focusing on passing their classes. They're focusing on getting a good grades to boost the team's GPA.
Yeah,
that's where their mindsets are at. So when they get pushed like this in practice, that means they don't have the capability to perform at the highest level in swimming right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their mind's not there, which is fine, but that's kind of naive. I'm pretty sure the coaches are not that happy about that.
Oh, no. I mean, I think there was a little, not like drop off over Thanksgiving break. Mm-hmm. I think they took a little bit of a break, and whether the coaches like that or not is up to them or not. But I mean, I think it's a well-deserved break
did
because I mean, the men have swam so well and the women have just consistently gotten better in terms of their times and everything. But you mentioned like they're going to be swimming, you know, probably at least 10,000 plus a day right now
at least.
And so having that confidence and knowing as Tomas Martin said it yesterday when I was chatting with him, you can listen to that interview, just blazeradiosports.com, by the way. And he was saying, when you go up there to do your 200 free, it's like you have the confidence because I've done a million times more than this in practice over and over again. And to do it there in the meet, he said, it's nothing by the time you get to that point.
Well, that's part of Bowman's training. Mm-hmm. He wants his swimmers to not crack under the biggest pressure. And the best example is that if you look at his top performing swimmers like Phelps and Allison Schmitz, and then you've got guys like Chase Kalish and a few other of his pro team, they don't crack under pressure. They thrive under pressure because they know that in practice, they've been exhausted both physically and mentally. Bowman has exhausted their, you know, all of their swimming traits down to the core. So honestly, he makes it so much to where racing is the easy part. Racing in the biggest stage is the easy part. The hardest part is just getting through practice. And that's what we're going to see right here in Tempe. He's just going to develop his plan. He's going to make his swimmers train at the highest level right now. So when it comes down to Stanford and Cal, they're going to have no problem racing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have the confidence to do it, too.
Yeah, and it'll look probably a little bit different, at least in terms of what they did from last year, because last year was an Olympic year, so a little bit more long course. And in the brief conversations I had with Malum yesterday and Bowman and Misty Hyman a little bit, even actually Tomas mentioned it a bit too, it is going to be a little bit more focused on the short course because that's where, you know, they're going to be swimming against Pac-12s and NCAAs as well. So they'll probably be focused on that. And then Malum said the sprinters are just going to be kicking their butts off this entire break. It's just going to be kicking. Well, it's going to be insane.
Sprinting is exactly two things, kicking and not breathing. Mm-hmm. So I think Malum is probably the expert at that, is kicking and not breathing. So we'll see him experiment with that a lot. But I think with the rest of this team, they're not really – not to say that they're not – their mindset's not there as far as the swimming, but seeing it today, the coaches – I can guarantee you that they were not happy with where they're at. They want better. They want their team to be better. And that's kind of crazy because they've already asked so much of this team. Mm-hmm. And to ask so much more is almost demanding of them, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, they're just going to have to – the team is just going to have to realize, okay, the training's not going to get easier. We're just going to have to keep working hard.
Yeah. And you're not going to see those initial dividends now. You're not going to see it probably against Cal or Stanford because let's be honest.
No, you won't.
They're not going to win those meets. As much as the team has improved, the men, like, that's going to be tough coming out of winter training straight into Stanford.
Coming out of winter training and straight into the two toughest teams in the entire conference, not going to be easy. Stanford and Cal are loaded on talent. They've got so much talent. Stanford alone, like, they won Pac-12s last year, and they didn't lose a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. A lot of their core guys are still on that team. If you look at Cal, the same thing. They still have Ryan Murphy. They still have a lot of these top swimmers with Olympic talent. So when they come to Tempe, it's, although ASU is performing so well, there's no way that they're going to be able to contend with this talent. Mm-hmm. And they'll be the first to admit it too. Then they'll be the first to say, hey, we probably can't contend with the Olympic talent we have right now, but we're going to try. And they're going to try. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how well they do. That might push them, might motivate them further, might motivate the coaches further. But the real results are going to come at the championship meets.
Yeah, and with this training, is there anyone that you're looking forward to or looking to improving the most? You think there's anyone that might benefit from this? I know you talked with Andrew Porter a little bit today. I talked with Tomas Martins, but is there anyone in your mind that you think could benefit the most from winter training and intensity kind of ramped up a bit?
There's a couple. Number one has got to be Patrick Park. I think he has all the talent in the world to be one of the best swimmers on the team. And I think if he just trains hard, if he focuses like more on his development, then he will easily be one of the best swimmers on this team. He's already their best person in the 200 butterfly. He's already got a solid 100 fly time. The only thing that's interesting to me right now is that we see swimmers on the team have faster times than where they're at a year ago. Mm-hmm. Patrick Park, I think, is around that same time. Mm-hmm. His times might be a tad faster, but they're not significantly faster. So if anyone's going to benefit from training hard over the winter break and having a better outcome, it's going to be him. Because he's got all the talent in the world to be one of the best on this team. And then, obviously, you have to look at Andrew Porter. There's so much weighing on this guy's shoulders because he was at U of A, was ninth in the country when he was a sophomore, left U of A, came here, said that everything is just going better. He's the happiest he's ever been in his life, and I totally believe him. However, he needs to live up to that expectation. He has to be able to say, okay, I can get at least ninth in the 100 butterfly, if not better. Mm-hmm. And probably better because he's got so much going for him right now.
Yeah, and he has Bowman coaching him too.
I know. So if I'm thinking about any two swimmers that could potentially outperform themselves, it's got to be those two.
Now, looking back, we really didn't talk about much on this podcast, but the Art Adamson Invitational, do you think their finish there was kind of where Bowman and the squad hoped they were going to be leading into winter training?
I think it's better than the way they thought they were going to be.
Okay.
I don't think the coaches thought that they're going to, especially on the men's side specifically, that they're going to have the talent they already have. I don't think the coaches knew going into the season that Cameron Craig was going to be this absolute glorified stud, that Richie Bowes was going to be able to be good at the 200 backstroke. I didn't think that was going to be possible. I also didn't think the coaches had ideas that they could beat USC. Mm-hmm. And they did beat USC. I mean, granted, there is some scoring issue, but they beat them. ASU won that meet fair and square.
They walked away with the W. It's all
and matters. Not to say that the coaches are wrong, but USC's really good. USC's got so much talent. Then if you look at the Art Adams Invitational, they had LSU and Texas A&M, who are two very good teams that have so much depth, especially Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But ASU won the meet. So right now, I think the coaches are saying to themselves, wow, our team is really good, like really good. Let's get them better. Mm-hmm. Because they have the opportunity to compete on the highest level with Stanford, with Cal, and potentially with a Michigan, with a Texas, and with Florida. Mm-hmm. They just need to put the time in. And the coaches know that, and they're doing everything they can to make sure their team is ready for those meets. And that's what we're seeing in practice.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here because we did not talk about this at all. If you were going to put together maybe a power rankings of Pac-12 schools right now with Arizona State in there, Cal and other ones, where do you think ASU lands if we're going to be kind of talking about power rankings? I know it's kind of pointless, but it's fun. It's fun to talk about.
On the women's side, I will go – I'll put Stanford number one, obviously. They're clearly the best team in there. They've got Simone Manuel and Katie Ledecky. Mm-hmm. That'll, and then plus they've got so much depth too. On the women's side, Stanford's easily the best. If I was to put second place, I'd probably have to take USC just because they've got so much depth. And then after that, I'd probably have to go with Cal because they've got obviously a lot of talent there. UCLA.
So ASU still
playing. Arizona, then it's going to be – it's kind of close between Arizona State, Utah, and Washington State. Those three schools are kind of bunched together on the women's side. Just because – Arizona State doesn't have the depth to compete with the top teams in that conference, and that's totally fine. They just need to perform better with the top talent they already have. With the men's side, I think Stanford has more depth than Cal does, and Stanford always does a better job performing at the Pac-12 meet than Cal does. Cal does a better job performing at the NCAA meet. Now, pick your poison, whatever meet you want to perform better at. That's just how Cal does it. That's how Dave Durden runs his team. But looking at this Arizona State team, you could easily put them in third place because they beat USC and they've got a way better squad than Arizona does. And those are easily the other two teams that are in their way. They're way better than Utah. Not even close with Utah.
Oh, yeah.
And they beat USC, and USC had their best swimmer, Santo Condorelli, back from the Olympics. So if I was to power rank them in the Pac-12, they're easily number three for me behind Stanford and Cal.
There you go. Power rankings from Ryan Curry. You didn't know they were coming, but you got them out there nonetheless.
Now, all of this could easily change. I'm not saying that this is where I'd put them. I mean, I think we just saw that Arizona State was, what, ninth
in the country right now.
And if you look back at that, Cal is six.
Cal is six.
And that's currently it as far as the Pac-12. Stanford's at 19, and USC's at 17. I would put Stanford a lot higher just because they've got more depth, and I don't think we've seen them. Also, like, I don't think we've seen Stanford perform at a big invitational meet yet. So there's
that. They had one because Denver raced against them in that meet before they came to Arizona State. So they've done some, and I think they won that.
Yeah, but I'm talking mid-season meet. Because there are so many schools that went to, like, an Art Adamson or, you know, the Texas Invitational or I forget. There's so many invitations that happen in this time of year, but I don't think Stanford was at one yet. They might be going to one. I don't know what their schedule is. But that's something we have to account for, that majority of the teams that currently are ranked, like NC State, Missouri, Louisville, Alabama, all these top teams should be ranked high because they've already had swimmers perform at the highest level because they've already been to invitationals. Cal and Texas, who are easily my number one and number two teams in the country right now, don't have the times because they haven't had their swimmers swim at that level yet.
Yeah.
They will eventually.
Oh, yeah. They'll come out Pac-12s, dominate, NCAA's the same.
I mean, especially Texas. Is just loaded, man. They've got so many good guys. And we're looking
We're looking at the scenario with Arizona State, too. They could easily be 4-2 when they come back.
I think so.
California and Stanford. There's no shame. Those losses. The question is going to be how close can they get? How close can they stay with some of their top swimmers? Can they get some second and third place finishes? How does their B team relay fare against them? Because that's where guys like Tomas Martin, like, that's where they need them.
Well, that's where guys like Reed Elliott, Tomas, Barkley Perry, and, you know, anywhere between Patrick Park and, there's
Porter sometimes Porter gets can in probably that B be in that team. B
relay.
Depends.
And there's other guys, too, that can contend. It depends on the relay. But that B relay is also really talented. And that A relay obviously has got you know, Richie Bowis, Cameron Craig,
Duskinus,
Lorenz, yeah, and anything you can probably imagine. Like, uh-huh, yeah, so many good guys on that team. So it just kind of depends on where they fare,
yeah,
how well they fare against these teams. The biggest thing that I want to know is what is their game plan? Are they going to taper for Pac-12s? Or are they going to taper for NCAA?
Yeah, because last year they did it for they didn't do a full taper for U of A, but they did kind of get some.
Oh, they had some rest. They definitely got some rest.
And they're not doing that
this year. They won't do that thing this year. I can guarantee you that. So I think that, by the way, the reason why I mentioned that is because that taper affects how their timing right now.
Because mm-hmm,
they need to systematically, yep, plan out their swimmers' taper schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, do we train? And then the coaches are probably sitting down talking about this. Okay, do we train hard for this 6 weeks, go back to a normal regimen, then taper? Or do we, you know, train hard for just all the way through, then just taper for the big meet? You know what I mean? There's a lot of leeway with it, and there's a lot of probability in that system, but deciding when they want to taper is going to affect how hard they train this winter.
Yeah, and that's exactly why they're not tapering for U of A this year, so that's changing. They're probably going to go for Pac-12s, NCAAs, because they didn't have their best times at Pac-12s and NCAAs. A couple of them did, but for the most part, at NCAAs especially, you saw, outside of the one record-setting relay, there wasn't really many individual performances that significantly improved on their times, which is what you would hope for NCAAs as well.
Well, a year ago, we saw the psych sheet at Pac-12s, and we saw that ASU was ranked top and close to the top in almost every single event. I guess because they entered the times they swam at U of A. Now, that's totally fine. The problem is that they were not able to go those times or eclipse those times. So they fell in the rankings.
Yeah, because everyone else had planned their taper for Pac-12 and NCs.
Yeah, and so they just got absolutely rocked at those two meets because they didn't plan their taper out properly. That's not going to be the same this year.
Not necessarily properly. They just didn't plan it for Pac-12s. I think and you've mentioned it many times, whether it was on Going Deep last night with me. You said that U of A meet changed everything. Well, so I think it was important
that tapering they did taper for that meet was fine because that meet was huge. They made it a big meet. They created this new atmosphere that I've never seen before. I didn't even think Mono Plummer could ever even do that.
Yeah.
So that's totally fine. They broke 5 school records. They showcased extreme amount of talent. They beat your rivals U of A. There's nothing more you could ask for in big meet.
And Michael Phelps swam.
Michael Phelps swam and other Olympians swam. So I think that's fine. You totally swim those times, break the records. But I can tell that Bowman wants them to swim at a championship level meet as opposed to just showing off in a dual meet.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to do this winter break, is they're just going to train hard, get their team better, and then go from there. But I mean, I'm telling you, Blake, seeing this practice today was... It tired me out. That wasn't even the water.
I walked in and I'm just like, Ryan, you're right there? I'm just tired, man. You woke up at 6 too. You had to work.
So I did. I had a long day, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Seeing this team practice today was different than what I've seen all season, because we saw all season this environment of it's excitement. It's thrill. It's fast swimming. It's exciting swimming. We're here to show everyone what ASU is made of. Well, now they've done that.
They're breaking
everyone down. Knows Arizona State's good. Mm-hmm. Every other good college program has seen the results, and they see that Arizona State's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So now the coaches have to get together and say, okay, target's on our back. We need to show up, or this whole thing is just not going to look at the way we want it to look. That's what they're doing right now.
Yep.
That's why we see people in practice, you know, having to take frequent water breaks, having to take breaks to, let out their exhaustion, and it's. I know the coaches don't like to see that, and the coaches are going to push them no matter what, but we see the fatigue that they have. It's because they need to perform at a better level because they have to live up to the expectations now.
So the women will have a dual meet the 16th against NAU. Then they get back to action versus Oregon State on the 7th. The men don't return until January 20th to face Stanford. So that's going to be kind of the big one. But it's still interesting to see how the women fare against Oregon State on that dual meet as well. But Stanford's going to be the one that everyone's watching for. And Ryan, are we going to get together again before the semester's done, or just the last one of the semester in terms of podcasts? Do you think we'll get together after this? Yeah, no, maybe so?
Oh, man.
I put it on the spot three times.
I would assume no because of fine. We're students. We've got finals to do.
So, yes. Some of these swimmers.
And there's not much really news going on.
That's true.
Let me tell you what's happening for the next 6 weeks with the swim team. They're going to wake up. They're going to get in the water. They're going to swim about 10,000 yards, get out, eat, nap, play video games, get back in the water, mm-hmm. swim for another 10,000 yards, get out, go back to bed because they have to be up at 6 a.m. Yep. That's what we're going to do for literally 8 weeks straight, repeat, until the next semester starts. So
they might get Christmas off. I don't know.
Unless maybe. Someone breaks a bone or tears a shoulder muscle mm-hmm. or some famous swimmer decides to become an assistant coach of the team on the day after Christmas, like they did last year.
Michael.
There probably won't be that many news coming out of the team.
Yeah.
I know last year I was like, okay, cool, I can take a break from reporting. And then all of a sudden I got a text from our beloved Mitch Terrell over at Sun Devil Athletics.
I love Molly, but like.
Well, I love Molly. Molly's great.
Oh, Molly's great. But like, I miss Mitch around the pool of teeny bit.
Mitch was great.
Mitch was awesome. Mitch. He's doing hockey and. Is he football? Yeah, he's football now too.
They all have that with football.
Yeah, everyone does.
They need it. They had a bad year. But I remember last year, the day after Christmas, just relaxing in my nice home over winter break, and I got a text saying, hey, by the way, Jeff Metcalf, Arizona Republic, is reporting that Michael Phelps is going to become a volunteer assistant. And I was like, you know, that's probably something I should write about.
Yeah.
So I did. And that's kind of what happened.
That is still to this date the article I think it's gotten me the most views.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I shared me it on too. Facebook and I got everyone went ecstatic over it.
Yeah. So, unless something like that happens again, which we don't think will, this probably will be the last podcast only because there's nothing to talk about. We've already covered the bases.
Yeah, that's true.
The team is good. Men are 4-0. They won the Adams Invitational. Women are performing at a higher level than I think they've ever had before. Yeah. Now the only thing they have to do is just go to training and train hard and get better. And then January 7th, we'll see how the training has actually paid off.
Perfect. Well, if you miss our writing or want to see us on Twitter or anything, Ryan, where can they follow you on Twitter?
For my coverage, you can follow me on Twitter at RyanCurry25. Just at RyanCurry25. You can also follow at Cronkite Sports. Our coverage team has got a few articles planned for the rest of the semester. Over the next couple weeks, and then we're also going to take a quick little break as well-deserved break, like we said, there's no news coming out of the team. So that's where you can find my content and find our content.
CronkiteSports.com as well. Yep. For me, at Blake Benard, no R, it's BENARD, at Blake Benard. You can follow me there, at Blaze_sports as well. And then just all coverage for Blaze Sports you can find at blazeradiosports.com.
In the meantime,
yeah.
Merry Christmas, Blake.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays to you, Ryan Curry. Yes. Happy holidays to everyone that's listening. It's been a fun kind of first semester putting this podcast together, trying some new things and everything.
So, that's been fun for me.
Yeah.
We'll keep it going.
Exactly. All right. CronkiteSports.com, blazeradiosports.com. He is Ryan Curry. I'm Blake Pinard. Thanks for listening, everyone. And like Ryan said, have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy holidays. And if we don't hear from you, just enjoy your break, swimmers. Try to get a little bit of rest in there.
Our thoughts and prayers will be with you as you go through this training process. Just know that we can't really help you through it.
Yeah. Try to find some sort of, Vine's dead, try to find like a dogs and cats Vine.
Just
watch that as you're kind of out of the pool to get some encouragement.
I recommend buying two or three video games to kill the time between practice.
There you go.
That's what I recommend.
All right. Anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. Merry Christmas. Have a happy holidays. And we'll see you guys after the break. Ciao.